Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 287. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's going good. Another day, another pod, and more baseball. So looking forward to this. We got a lot of listener questions, so we appreciate everybody that did turn those in. Always good to interact with the listeners. So we appreciate each of you, and thank you for taking the time to submit these.
Yeah, it's always good answering the questions from the listeners of this Tool Shed podcast. I was just thinking the other day, Chris, a lot of like shows have like names for their listeners. What would be like the name of our, you know, listener group base here? It would be like the Toolies. That's actually, I don't know, that's good. The Tool Sheddians. I don't know.
Something like that.
If anybody has a better one, let us know. Tweet at us, whatever. There's got to be something in there that I'm not thinking about right now. But
right.
Yeah, we do have a lot of good questions today. 13 or 14 of them that we'll try to get through them all. Before we get into those, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris That Roto Clegg. I'm EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And obviously, you got to be checking out all the great things going on over at Rotoballer. Top-notch content, you know, articles, podcasts, tools, everything you need to help you succeed and have fun this fantasy season. Use that code TOOLSHED. Gets you 10% off any premium package. Doesn't even have to be baseball, over at rotoballer.com. First one about Jackson Jobe here, who's the talk of Twitter today after he's out there pumping triple digits in his one inning of work this afternoon. Look, obviously really good, but Jackson Jobe is really good. And the first question about him asks, has your opinion changed on Jackson Jobe? What's his ETA? How many innings do you think he gets? And realistic floor / ceiling? I guess let's start with the opinion part. My opinion has not changed on Jackson Jobe. I already had him as my number one pitching prospect. I know Chris does as well. And I don't like to make big changes in spring training. Little ones, sure, or things to file away and keep an eye on, stuff like that. But my opinion has not changed. Still my number one guy, was before spring training even started. And I think he's up. You know, I thought it was going to be mid-season, Chris, maybe get like 80 to 100 innings. I've dialed that back a little bit after they went out and got Jack Flaherty, Kenta Maeda. Maybe that signals that they want to give him more time this year in the minors. So I'm thinking around 50 innings, 40 to 50. I'm going to keep him under that threshold, though, and then have the big push for Rookie of the Year next year. But what do you think, Chris? More or less than 50?
I think he probably gets more, but I don't think he's going to get a ton. No, opinion hasn't changed. He was my number one pitching prospect last year, so nothing's changed there. The ETA isn't changing off of one inning. I just don't think that, honestly, the Tigers kind of showed their hand by what they've done and going out and getting fringy pitchers. And yeah, there's likely to be injuries, but right now, where's Job on the depth chart here? You're looking at Skubal, Flaherty, Maeda, Manning, Olsen is the top five. You also have other guys like Casey Mize, who's vying for time, Sawyer Gibson Long. You have Joey Wentz, who could get starts if they needed. There's so many opportunities here. Ty Madden's another one. Wilmer Flores, Keider Montero, Alex Fiedo. I'm not saying Joe's behind those guys, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to aggressively push Jackson Job. I think he needs to build up his innings in the minors. And, you know, today was a reminder. He threw one inning. So we have to see more of that. I mean, he's had 62 or 64 total innings last year. You count the complex as well, and then you add in the AFL. So realistically, I think you have to see those innings built up, see him pitching consistently deep in the games. And all that has to happen before we see him starting at the major league level. So I would guess it's after the All-Star break that we see Job. But ultimately, no, the opinion hasn't changed. It was 13 pitches. I highly doubt the velocity sticks there. He was already 96, 97. So if he's up a tick, then that's great. But I think a realistic floor is pretty high just due to the command and the improvements there. And the ceiling's also extremely high. That's why, in my opinion, he's the top pitching prospect in the game.
Yep. Definitely co-endorse that. Yeah, I hate answering the floor questions. I think it's hard because the floor for any prospect is not making it to the major leagues. But like you mentioned, he does have a higher floor than most pitching prospects, compared to others. Probably a top 10 floor for pitching prospects, maybe even higher than that. And I think he has the highest upside of any pitching prospect right now. And as people are like, oh, Paul Skenes, oh, Andrew Painter. Yeah, those guys are all very close, and they're all in the same tier, splitting hairs. Job has the best combination, I'll say, of ceiling and floor of any prospect in the minor leagues, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think he could be a future fantasy ace, and we could see that as soon as later this year. Next one here, more of a strategy question, not on any specific player. This person asks, please give some thoughts on when is how long of a leash do we give for prospects who didn't pan out? So I guess like how before moving on, I think that's what they're asking about. Chris, what are your thoughts on that one?
I think it differs for every prospect. I think every league's so different. And that's the tough thing about a generic question like this. It's every guy's so different. I think you have to take each player circumstantial because you're going to have some that are dealing with off the field things or dealing with other things in life that aren't baseball related that is affecting baseball itself. You're going to have players that are just going through rough patches. You're going to have some guys that just don't pan out. There's hype and they don't. So I think that's what we have to determine is what is the situation here. And with that, I think that it all varies and depends. I'll just talk about Gavin Cross. I think he's a good example. Gavin Cross was a first-round pick, fairly high pick. I'm going to pull up the exact pick that he was, the ninth pick. He got $5.2 million. So Gavin Cross was also a college bat. Cross had a lot of upside. There was obviously a lot of love there. And he's one, to me, that shouldn't struggle with the lower levels. To see the struggles in high A are not so great. Now, I'm not completely just writing off Gavin Cross, but he's certainly fallen a significant amount for me. But if this was a high school guy, we'll say that Gavin Cross, his first full season was 18 years old. So let's talk Drew Jones. I think it's a little bit of a different case there. Drew Jones, we've seen the tools, we've seen the potential, but he's also very young. Gavin Cross, while it's still a first year pro ball, he's been seasoned in college, and you expect those guys to perform well at the lower levels, especially considering ACC competitions probably somewhat reminiscent of single A, high A competition that you'd see. So it's a case by case thing. And I think that the leash should always depend on who's available. Like, you can't sit there and watch as prospects break out and other people pick them up while your guys are just floundering in the water at lower levels. I think the jump from high A to double A is also an expected struggle marks. If a guy struggles going to double A, then I'm not overly concerned there if he's initially struggling. So I think that's a long-winded way to say, take it case by case. Look at what exactly is going on. Is it bad luck? Is it a pitcher that's just having really bad luck? Is it fueled by a low BABIP for a hitter? What's the underlying stuff telling you? And then from there, you can point and get a better idea of, could this player turn it around? Maybe not. But at the end of the day, I do think that every situation is a case-by-case basis. And I know that's not a great answer, but that is my answer.
Yeah, I think the easiest way I can say it is you look at what's wrong in the profile, and if they haven't made strides with that over, it's hard to give an exact number, but maybe a couple of years, then it might be time to start moving on. Someone like Mick Abel and his command and control, that hasn't improved the last couple of years. I'm not out on him yet, but yeah, that's kind of how I look at it. If they just haven't made any strides with what has been holding them back, so to speak, then it's maybe you start moving on from them. Don't get completely out on them at that point, but I think you could start getting one foot out the door, so to speak. Next question here. Thoughts on Christian Robinson. Can he return to top prospect status? It's been a wild ride for Christian Robinson over the last 5 years or so. This is a guy that many people ranked, I think myself included. I think he peaked at number 9 in my rankings. He was in a lot of top 10s. I don't know how he got for you, Chris, but can he return to the top prospect status? I don't think so. I don't think he's going to return to, if back to what he was, is your question, then no. There's still some good tools there. He's a good athlete. He's shown the power, but I don't know. I'm starting to think he's going to be one of those names that always carries the weight because he was a former top prospect, but I'm still on the fence if he ever pans out. What are your thoughts? Do you think there's any hope for Robinson, Chris?
You look, and I would say it was impressive that he put up the power speed numbers that he did coming back, but I always think he's just going to be held back by the contact skills that are basically just non-existent at this point. And so I think that's the biggest concern for me, is that when you look at Robinson's profile, it's okay. This kid made contact at a 58% clip last year. That is borderline 20 grade. That's awful. So I think there's major concerns. And should we have expected him to strike out a lot and whiff a lot? Yeah, absolutely. Because he was out of pro baseball for quite some time. But at the same time, this guy was still in the backfields. He was playing in games. He just couldn't play in front of fans. So he was facing quality pitchers still. And that's fun to dream on the upside. We saw the power speed last year play out a bit. But at the end of the day, he's going to have to make more contact and a lot more contact. And so right now, I think that he's fine, but I would be pretty shocked if he ever came to like top prospect status again.
I'll ask you this question. Give me a percent chance that Robinson is ever a top 100 prospect again.
10%.
Okay, that's close. I was thinking like 10-15%. I think he's still going to be like a top 150, 200 guy, but yeah, I just, like you mentioned, there's a lot of concerns there with the contact. He's fun. Fun doesn't always lead to results and lead to success. So yeah, I'm more out than in right now on Christian Robinson. Next one here. What are Brooke Lee's chances to make the opening day roster? If he doesn't make it for opening day, how soon after would you expect him up? And could you see him playing a different position? So with Minnesota, I'm pulling up the depth chart right now. Lee was drafted as a short sub. He's played a lot of third as well right now. Obviously, they got Correa and Royce Lewis on the left side of the infield. Edward Julian at second base. So I don't know. I don't think he's up opening day. I think he's nearly ready. Now, does that mean May? Does that mean July? I'm not sure. I think he is up before the All-Star break. I will say that, especially when you see the injury history with Correa, with Royce Lewis especially. I mean, hope Lewis stays healthy, but I don't know if Lee would move off of the left side of the diamonds. I don't even think he's played outside of short and third. I'd have to look that up, but I think he's up first half of the year. I think he's a long-term, a back-end top 100 player, good combination of hit and power, not a lot of speed, but maybe a 270, 25 homer type of guy. But I just don't know when exactly he's up. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's a tough question to answer. I think that if he was a little more seasoned at second base, then he probably is up on opening day and Edward Julian goes to DH because Julian's not a great second baseman in the field. So the problem is there's so many mouths to feed here. There are a lot of similar profiles here, and signing Carlos Santana clouded that even more. I know Santana's not going to block anybody, but he's going to play first base here. But ultimately, I think that we see Brooks Lee up pretty quickly. I don't think it's opening day, but the chances of that left side of the infield staying healthy, and I hate to say that, but are pretty slim between Correa and Royce Lewis. So in that case, it probably opens up an opportunity for Brooks Lee, and he'd be up pretty quickly and filling that gap. Now, I'm not going to rule out and say that he doesn't make the opening day roster, but right now it's probably like a 30 to 40% chance that he does. But if not, then I think he's probably up like June.
Did you just like power down a sneeze in the middle of your talking there?
I don't know. It's like a yawn or something. And it just kind of pushed off and keep going.
I looked at you with the sneeze and I'm like, wow, he just powered that back down. Like, no, not now, sneeze. I'm talking Brooks Lee. That was
go
great.
Away.
But yeah, I just pulled up Lee and yeah, he has never played anywhere else besides short and third in college, so any of the summer collegiate leagues or in the minor league. So last time he played elsewhere would have been high school or something like that. So yeah, could he move offshore? Yeah, I think the second base with Julian the DH is definitely a possibility. But yeah, I think he's up soon. Next question here. Evan Carter versus left-handed pitchers. Any chance he's platooning? This person asked three questions in one. So any chance of platooning with Carter? Any concerns with Dylan Cruz long-term? And chances to see Waldrop ending in the bullpen in a few years? Okay, so I'll just kind of fire through these quickly. I'm not worried about Carter platooning yet. You don't platoon a guy with this much upside this early in their career. You give them a chance to work it out, and you give them a long chance because with the type of player he could be, all-star caliber player. We're not talking about like a fringe starter. We're talking an all-star caliber player, a potential top 25 player in this game. So you give them a long chance. So I'm not worried about that yet. Next, what was the other one? Dylan Cruz long-term? Nope. I think he's a great buy low. He did not. Langford moved ahead of him. Cruz didn't drop down. Langford obviously went gangbusters, and Cruz, yeah, he struggled a little bit in double A. So I think Cruz is going to be a potential early round fantasy asset. No concerns whatsoever. And Waldrop in the bullpen, I'll say 10%. I guess it's possible. Does have some command control issues, but I do think he's a starter long term and a pretty damn good one. What are your thoughts on these three, Chris?
Yeah, Carter, definitely not. And I know that everybody's so quick to be like, oh man, he had one extra base hit against a lefty last year. But yeah, if we look a little deeper into what Carter did last year, like looking at the splits, yeah, there was a batting average split. Okay. But the contact percent difference in versus right-handed pitching and left-handed pitching was minimal, talking 3% difference. Yeah, he hit all his home runs against righties, sure. But he also hit the ball harder versus lefties, which is pretty interesting. His ninth percentile, so the high end was 2 miles an hour higher versus lefties than righties. Okay, like I know we're talking a smaller sample against lefties, but no, I have absolutely zero concern about a young kid like Evan Carter who has come up and shown a lot already platooning Dylan Cruz. Absolutely not. If people faded him, then I hope you got him for cheap in your dynasty league, because I think people forget how good of a contact and power hitter Cruz is. And you factor in he's a good athlete that's going to steal bases. Everybody's quick to point at, oh, he didn't steal at LSU. Okay, he was a middle-of-the-order hitter in an elite lineup where he didn't need to steal. And the philosophy of that team was not to steal bases. But Dylan Cruz is capable of stealing 10-plus bases regularly for at least the early part of his career. There's 25 home run pop. He's got the potential to run 400 OBPs. And the contact skills are really good. So no, I have zero concerns about Dylan Cruz. The only hole that anyone can poke in his game were his double A numbers last year. And he was hitting in one of the worst hitter parks in baseball. And his BABIP was extraordinarily low in a small sample. So I'm absolutely not concerned about Dylan Cruz. does Waldrop end up in the bullpen long term? Maybe, but we could say that about any pitching prospect.
Right.
He is as risky as any pitching prospect out there, in my opinion. We could go through every top pitching prospect and there would be, okay, yeah, there's a few concerns here with these guys. At the end of the day, I think that he does have bullpen risk, but is it any more bullpen risk than Jacob Mizorowski? Is it any more bullpen risk than Kyle Harrison or Tink Hintz, or, you know, insert whoever you want to that's in the top 100? And I think they all have risk.
Yep.
I think the Braves are going to give him every chance to be a starter. I don't see them, you know, pushing him to the bullpen immediately. And I think we've seen the Braves turn pitchers into much more, working with much less. The talent here is very good. And I think there's just a couple tweaks away from him throwing enough strikes to be a very good starter. So, no, honestly, I'm not concerned about Hurston Waldrop either.
Yep. Totally agree there. Next up, is there room in the Cardinals infield for both Thomas Adjaze and Nolan Gorman? Right now, the answer is no. But could there be? Absolutely. How that comes to be, I'm not so sure, because obviously they have a pretty loaded infield. You have Goldie at first, Gorman at second, Arenado at third, and Mason Wynn at short. And with what Mason Wynn brings defensively, they'll probably give him some time to hopefully get the bat going good at the major league level. Gorman is streaky, but the power's there, so he provides that value. Maybe it's a Goldie injury, an Ari injury, or if Gorman really struggles, though you could see maybe some time at DH, but they have Brendan Donovan there too. I don't know. I think Sajazy is going to be a solid major leaguer. He's a guy that doesn't wow you, but more of a sum of the parts guy that can just do a lot of things across the board. Guy that will probably always be underrated for fantasy, but always be fairly valuable for fantasy at the same time. So I'm not sure when exactly or how exactly Sajazy breaks into the Cardinals lineup, but I'd be targeting him when he does. And maybe that is at the expense of Gorman, but more than likely it's probably an injury. I don't know. I guess that's not really a great answer on that. What are your thoughts on this, Chris?
Yeah, so JC is going to be a really nice, versatile type player. So he can play all over the board. I don't think he's locked into a position right now, and he may be a really good utility type until he finds his footing. And obviously, first base locked up, third base locked up. His best opportunity at regular playing time would be at second base if Gorman shifted over to a DH type role, which I don't think is out of the question completely. I think he could end up doing that. And you know, maybe that's the route they want to go. Last year we saw Gorman play some third, mostly though at second base. At the end of the day, I think that we see Sujacy work his way into time with an injury, or he just plays all over the board and spells people and gives them some days off. So I do think they can coexist in some form or fashion.
Yeah, there's a few different paths to playing time here. Just which path will it be? Who knows at this point?
Yeah.
Next up here, who is better long-term, Jonathan Classe or Owen Casey? Chris, what are your thoughts here? This is a fun one, two very different profiles. What are your thoughts on Classe versus Casey?
Personally, I don't think this is very close. Both have their concerns with contact, but like Owen Casey has the carrying tool of having elite power, and can't say the same. I know Class A did hit home runs, but he does not have that kind of power. Casey's contact skills improved a decent bit once the tacky ball left the Southern League. So that was obviously notable that we did see the improvements there. The exit velocities are a massive gap, but Class A does give you steals. So if it's a Roto League, then Class A does carry a little more value. But to me, like, there's a 100 spot gap between Class A and Owen Casey, because I really believe that Casey is going to be a type that potentially can hit 35 plus home runs. We're talking exit velocities in the Junior Caminero range. He also can steal you some bags. He's given 11 and 7 the last 2 years. And if the contact does continue to trend upward, then I think there's a really special player here. Even if he hits you 250, the rest of the numbers are going to play, and he's going to hit in the middle of the lineup. I have concerns if Class A is an everyday regular, honestly. Like, I'm not sure and convinced that he is an everyday regular. I think he still has some work to do to prove that. But at the end of the day, I like both, but it's a big gap for Casey for me.
Yeah, I think you could make an argument that if everything clicks for both guys, that Class A might have the higher ceiling just because of the massive speed he has. But I think there's a bigger gap between Casey and Class A when it comes to floor. And I do also think that there's a much better chance that Casey turns into a major league regular than Class A. The K rate was still a little bit on the higher end later in the year, but definitely much better. You look at, he struck out 32 times in 18 games in April, 33 times in 22 games in May, 32 in 23 games in June. Then it went down to 25 in 21 games, 28 in 23 games, and then 20 in 17 games. From June 24th through the end of the season, 293 plate appearances. K-rate was at 28%, so again, a little bit higher, but he was at 34% earlier in the year. Slash 315, 428, 539. Walk rate over 10%, 22 doubles, and 10 home runs. He's not going to be a guy that gives you more than a handful of steals, but I think he's 250 to 260, 30-plus home runs, and some solid counting stats. Basically, maybe a slightly better version of Ian Happ or something in that ballpark. And Class A, the range of outcomes here is very vast, and he could be a guy that just never makes it because of the contact and the swing and miss, or he could be a really fun guy that is one of the league leaders in steals. We'll see, but yeah, I will go Casey because there's a much, much higher floor there with him. Next one says rank them: Joe Boyle, Ryan Weathers, Hurston Waldrop, Gavin Stone, Drew Thorpe, and Daniel Espino. They didn't say redraft for Dynasty, but given the inclusion of Espino, I'm assuming it's Dynasty. So I will, this is tough. I'll go, I'm struggling at one. I'll go Waldrop, Espino, Thorpe, Boyle, Stone, Weathers. I'm really struggling on a few of those. So yeah, Waldrop, Espino, Thorpe, Boyle, Stone, Weathers. A few of those are interchangeable. How do you rank them, Chris?
For Dynasty, probably Waldrop, Thorpe, Stone.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Weathers, Boyle, Espino until I see Espino on the mound.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that'd be that's really the biggest thing. I just need to see him pitching. So,
He was the hardest one to rank easily in there. You could make an argument for him at one or six. It's very valid. We don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back. But at the same time, this was a top five pitching prospect for many, myself included, before all the injuries started piling up. So, yeah, he's definitely a fun one with another wide range of outcomes there. Next one here. More home runs this year in MLB, Mark Vientos or Chase DeLauder? There's been rumors today that the Mets are talking with JD Martinez. Who knows if anything comes from that? Mark Vientos, I don't know if ever I give him a shot. And I think DeLauder's up early. So I'll even throw some numbers. I'll say DeLauder hits 18 home runs this year, and Vientos absolutely could hit more. He's capable of 30 over a full season, but I feel like he's going to be limited to like 200, 250 plate appearances, and he'll go like 14 or something like that for home runs. So I'll give the edge to the louder here.
Yeah, I'm going to take DeLauder too. I just think he gets more plate appearances, honestly. Like, yeah, there's just a easier path to playing time. So he's the one.
Next one here, some sleeper RP suggestions would be great for a saves plus hold dynasty league. Saves and holds are, I don't think it's not the industry standard by any means, but OBP, it's getting closer to being as popular as just straight up saves are. You know, obviously Fantrax has variations that you can use of saves and hold, which is pretty fun. Other platforms just give you saves plus holds, but there's a lot of fun relievers right now that I think are being slept on here. And I actually just put out my updated relief pitcher rankings today. These are more for 2024, but some names I like that I don't think have really blown up too big yet. I think like a guy like Jordan Leisure, really good stuff. He could be a closer at some point soon. I think Griffin Jacks is going to be a really good investment in saves and holds leagues. Same with Julian Merriweather with the Cubs. And this next game does have a little bit of helium right now, but Orion Kerkering, I think, has top 10 RP upside. And Abner Uribe as well in Milwaukee. There's a lot more, but those are just the first few names that popped in my mind. You got any names to add to that, Chris?
Yeah, so I'm looking at guys like Justin Slayton with the Red Sox.
He's filthy.
He's been really good. Jordan Leisure would obviously be on that list. Current MLB relievers. Like, I love Eric Swanson. He's dealing with some off-the-field stuff that's pretty serious right now. So I'm not sure where his mental state would be, but he's obviously got the talent. Matt Brash, I think he's fortunately going to be okay. The injury concern was there. Caleb Ferguson, New York Yankees. Andrew Nardi with the Marlins. Tyler Rogers in San Francisco. AJ Minter's one of my favorite saves and holds guys. He's always a great value. Jason Foley, Detroit. Brian Abreu, Houston. Julian Merriweather, Chicago Cubs. Justin Topa, Josh Winkowski. If you want to look for like some prospects that I think could, TJ Brock with the Blue Jays. Connor Cook's also with the Blue Jays. Emiliano Teodo. Those guys could be up soon.
Yeah, Teodo's a great one.
Yeah, those are all like elite guys. Yeah, those are the ones that really interest me. So a lot of names there, but ones that I'm very intrigued by.
All right, next one here. We touched on this a little bit, but another person asked, have any spring training performances significantly impacted either of your prospect rankings or a particular player or players? We already answered the fact that nothing is going to change them significantly, but Chris, who are a few names of some prospects that have really just stood out to you this spring training?
Prospect-wise, Jackson Merrill, we know he's breaking camp with the team now.
Yeah.
Graham Pauly, I also think, is going to break camp with the team. He's been really good. Both those guys in San Diego have been fun to watch. Obviously, Wyatt Langford, James Wood, like none of those guys' rankings are moving. And honestly, I'm not moving like really anybody's rankings based on spring training, but like thinking about those hitters have stood out. Jared Jones has been a pitcher that has really stood out to me that I've really liked to watch. He's been really good and really fun to see throw. So he's certainly one that I think if anybody, like, he may have been one that just has improved his stock in my mind. Jared Jones, yep. Joe Boyle's still a prospect. You know how he ends. It's the full Joe Boyle experience every start because you never know what you're going to get with him.
For sure.
Will Warren, but that hasn't changed. I've always liked Will Warren. Clayton Beaters caught my eyes, an arm that might get the fifth rotation spot if Warren doesn't and Garrett Cole's out. Hoping that's not the case, but Clayton Beaters been really good there. So those are names that kind of pop in my mind. Overall stock wise, like not a lot of, no one's really, I'm changing any of their values at all or rankings based on spring training, but those are the guys that I've at least like been encouraged to watch and see.
Yeah. For me, a couple names, Colton Cowser has been tearing the cover off the ball. He's made some adjustments over the offseason that look like they're really paying off. And yeah, it's just spring. We got to see how this looks in regular season games, but I think the arrow was trending down, not like firmly, but a little bit trending down for him after the struggles he had last year in major leagues. But I think he stopped that arrow from pointing down, at least for now. He looks really good. Now, he's really tearing the cover off the ball this spring. One of the if there was a spring training MVP, he'd be in, you know, one of the front runners for that right now. So it's been fun to see him turning around and remind everybody how good he really is. It's not Rafaela. I've been, you know, preaching for a while to go buy him in dynasty leagues. He had another home run today on what day is today? Tuesday when we're recording this. Really good pull side pop, good speed, good athlete. I think he's in a break camp. I think he's a go ahead of Willy Abreu on the depth chart. Abreu has not had a good spring, or maybe they move him to more of a DH, fourth outfielder role. And maybe Rafael plays some middle infield too. We'll see while Von Grissom's out. Yeah, Jared Jones really has, I know you just talked about him, really impressed. And I was definitely too low in my ranking on him, so I adjusted that. And I think he's now borderline top 10 pitching prospect in this game that doesn't get valued nearly as such. So he's still a pretty good dynasty target right now because the perceived value has gone up because of how he looked in the spring. Still not quite where it probably should be. We get two more questions here. One's on Daniel Espino. We ranked him about 3 minutes ago, but this one's asking expectations on Espino this year and going forward. I just want to see Espino healthy. For this year, that's all I care about. Just be healthy, get some innings back under your legs, and we'll see where you are. And where's the velocity at? Does he still have the really good breaking stuff? Because long-term, he still has ace upside. And I don't throw that term around lightly. He still has ace upside. He's one of the seven or eight guys that I'll use that term on right now. But can he stay healthy enough over a full season to handle a starter's workload? I think that's the real question. I think he's a great buy right now because the price tag has dropped to a point where it's more low risk than anything and potentially massive reward. And if it doesn't work out, then you probably didn't pay a whole lot to get him. So this year, I just want to see him healthy, see where his stuff's at long-term. I think he still has ace upside, but obviously more risk than most.
Yeah, I wish I had a good idea. I have no clue what to expect from him. I think that the first step is obviously to get him healthy on the mound, throwing in game. And then from there, it's ultimately, we'll see. I'm not confident in who Daniel Espino is right now. And that's not a cop-out answer. I just really struggle with who he's going to be because we don't know what he's going to look like coming back from injury. And that makes it really hard to evaluate. But at the end of the day, the talent's there. Like we've seen him be one of the best or most talented arms in the minors at certain points. I think that there is a case where he can come back and rebound. But I think right now we need to see him ultimately just on the mound.
Yeah, absolutely. That's step one. And I might be able to see him live this year. I was just pulling up the AA schedule for Akron, and they come to my neck of the woods here in Portland, Maine, early June. So maybe I'll see him then. I have no idea what level he's going to be at that point in time. But AA seems fair, given the time missed. He got up to that level when I forget when that was at this point, 2021, two. I don't remember at this point. It's been so long since we've seen Daniel Espino, but I would love to get some live looks at him in that series. And then they go to Hartford the week after that. So 2.5 hour drive. I might make that for Espino. We'll see. But hopefully I can see him in Portland. Last question here. I'm more of a general topic question. Do you think that as an industry, we are much better projecting prospects than we were 10 years ago? Yes. I don't think it's tough. Yes, I think we're better now than we were 10 years ago. I even look back to as I wasn't ranking guys 10 years ago. I was just on my own, but not published anywhere. So now I started 7 years ago. But just the resources available, the coverage of the minor leagues is so much greater now than it was back 6, 7, 8 years ago, which is great to see. You get more video on guys. There's more data available and more coming every day. And I think just me personally, I obviously am trying to improve every day, every week, every month I do this and improve my own process. And I think I've done that. Still have a lot, long ways to go, a lot to learn. I'm always trying to get better, but I think it's better now than it was. I think is what I'm trying to say here. Long-winded answer, but now, Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that the fact that we just have so much more data and access to things really helps us project pitchers, and we're able to ultimately see it's more than just performance at the end of the day. And so having more of those things really helps us. And obviously, as you mentioned, I think there's more coverage. We can get more looks at players. There's more access to video. All these things really help. So I would say, yes, I think the misses should be a lot less across all fronts. Like the MLB draft, like there should be less misses. Now, it's not to say that guys won't get hurt. Guys won't regress for various reasons. But I do think that we are better at projecting prospects than we were 10 years ago, for sure. Just because, one, the accessibility to things, and that's huge. And two, just the amount of information out there. So, yeah. And I would agree.
You learn from your mistakes and learn what profile does better, what usually doesn't. And you learn from your mistakes and you improve. Yeah, it's always fun. And I wonder what's it look like 5-10 years from now. Probably a lot different. Maybe everything's public data at that point in time. That's the way it's trending. We shall see. I think that was the last question. So that will wrap up this episode of the Tool Shed. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. And thanks to everyone that submitted all these great questions. Make sure to check out rotoballer.com, toolshedfantasy.com, and thedynastydugo.com for more work from Chris and I. And we'll see you again in a couple of days. But until then, everyone take care.
Every fan knows the right player in the right position can be a game changer. Put LifeLock between your identity and identity thieves to monitor and alert you to threats you could miss. Plus, with a U.S.-based restoration specialist on your team, you won't have to face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other losses from identity theft alone. All backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package. Change the game on identity theft. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.